This program deals with devil worship and satanic beliefs. It contains explicit scenes and descriptions of violent crimes and rituals. Because of the program's theme and controversial subject matter, parental discretion should be exercised.
Intellectual decay! Turn it off and watch your face! Hey.
As it is now, so it was then. For everything good, there is an evil thing. And with every happy ending, so a tale of horror begins. Welcome to the Say You Love Satan 80s Horror Podcast. This is your host, Stephanie.
There's an old man on a sleigh who's like me, just for one day. Bestrides the world like a huge colostomy. He gets no presents, he gets no fun, and he's forgotten when he's done. So here's a little gift, a song to him from me.
But I think a little music would be appropriate. So why don't you sing me some jingle bells? Huh? I said sing jingle bells!
Joining me today are Jesse.
Oh, Huffy, say, Ralph, say, Ralph, say,
there's no coffee in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink.
Jonald?
We were taught that there are places on our body that we should avoid. And the asshole is at the top of the list. Until I was 30 years old, I hated my asshole. Twice I even had surgery on my asshole. Not fun. I recommend clenching your asshole in rhythm with your breathing. I have relaxed and healed my asshole.
Garbage? Got no garbage here. Only the expressions of the soul.
Sarah?
The genitals are the door to evil. The vagina. The uterus.
Michael, who are the goblins? And Benny Graves.
Oh, give me a noose I can hang from the tree. I need no excuse to end my misery. This holiday season is all the more reason to die.
Oh, pull up a stool and an ear to a fool who once found some solace in the season of Yule. This holiday season is all the more reason to cry.
I put on my mittens, one green and one red, and I walk alone where they bury the dead. The snow falls as I grieve. It's a gothic death rock Christmas Eve.
The bottle is empty, the sleigh hasn't flat, the stripper in my bed is ugly and fat. Her tassels are tangled, and what's worse, my jingle won't jangle.
This time of the year makes me sick to my guts.
All this good cheer is a pain in the nuts.
When it's your career to be down in the dumps, tidings of comfort and joy really suck.
Is pulling my leg.
This thing we call Christmas is a sorry black plague.
This holiday season
is all the more reason. All the more reason to die. All the more reason to die.
and then they're gonna eat me.
Oh my God!
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
On this episode, we will revisit Ernest Scared Stupid on the Flux Incapacitator, followed by our feature presentation, a Patreon pick by Champ Troll 2 from 1990. But first, we're going to stop in at the Sleazy Speakeasy.
In the tavern down the street is a laboratory where he makes the transformation all the time. In the stand of Dr. Buzz, just a pint of monster blood, and it does affect him different every time. Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call him Trickin'
We have a Thanksgobbling feast in front of us here.
It's a feast.
It looks like Angela Lansbury, spread eagle. So there's a lot of greens going on here.
She keeps stretching, too.
It's my period, so it's like Murder, She Wrote down there.
Steph made some green eggnog.
Yeah, I made some homemade eggnog.
Benny made some Jello shots of the green and red variety.
Yes. So I just finished up some Mad Dog. We'll get to that.
Oh, wait. You just said you weren't going to finish that bottle.
Yeah.
No, he did.
I mean, and he lied.
It wasn't. I have regrets already.
It wasn't an extravagant
your house,
amount.
John.
I made a whoopsie. And then I'm also drinking Southern Tier Bourbon Smash.
Sarah got some drinks.
I have a White Claw.
Don't be embarrassed.
The Ruby Grapefruit. No, I love White Claw. It's fine.
Isn't that what you brought to the Hearthon?
No, we had Trulies at John's Barbecue.
And that's what it was.
That's when Steph vomited on the side of your car.
Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, that's true.
Out the window on 95 going 60 miles
per hour. You're sneaky, though. You're like, I'm fine. And then you get in the car, and then everything goes
down. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
She's like, I'm sneaky. Time to smoke 18 cigarettes.
The car ride is always my downfall.
She was completely fine in the car ride, and then all of a sudden I heard her going like the... And I looked over at her like, you're sick? So speaking of green things,
yes,
I wanted to talk about Baby Yoda, our new overlord and meme master of the interwebs, because ever since, like, so when I first started watching it, I didn't know when it was supposed to take place, The Mandalorian. So I thought that was possibly Yoda. But then once I found out it wasn't, like, it was within the time frame, it wasn't Yoda, that Yoda was actually fucking, then that's all I could stop. I couldn't stop thinking about Yoda having sex. Like, how does he have sex? With, like, what positions does
what
he do?
What does his dick look like?
Wasn't there, like, John will know this, so that's why I want to bring it up here, because John is the nerd on all things Star Wars. Isn't there, like, a female Yoda called, like, Yaddle or something like that? Like,
there was a Yoda species on the High Council, I believe.
Maybe in episode one.
So we have the Yoda species isn't, there is no, like,
no.
There is no term for it. It's just Yoda species.
You're not as learned as I thought you were then on the Star Wars topic.
No, there are no other, there's no name.
No. There was a female fucking Yoda called
Yaddle.
Yeah,
she was in the other movies.
In the first,
that's all I'll say.
The prequels.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, like, you know, he's the master of the Force. He can get, he can actually get, like, Yoda Yaddles, whatever you call whatever you call female Yoda pussy. I don't know what that is. He could actually just, Yossi? Like, he could splooge a lot in, like, a jar. Then he could make, like, using the Force, he could make, like, a T-1000 out of, like, Cinnabon jizz.
Uh-huh.
And have it get in an X-Wing, and then just, he could just be impregnating everything.
What if
all,
they just,
all over,
like,
the universe?
What if they're, like, some frogs where, like, you just jizz on the back of the frog, and, like, it becomes porous, and then, like, the little babies, like...
That's
like
gross.
Become, shoot out of the back of the frog.
I mean, that would be like Gremlins. We saw Gremlins, the original, in 4DX.
Yeah, cocksuckers. Thanks for inviting me. It's like last minute 4DX.
We had a date night.
It was a date night.
Oh, okay.
Well, you could have put me.
You could have put me in the middle as the Holy Spirit.
It does snow in the movie theater, actually, but doesn't. Yeah. It didn't really snow that much.
It was just at the front.
But anyway, like. It scares the shit out of Steph every single fucking time. Like, it does, like, the little air things. So anytime like a gremlin would jump out, it would do, like, the air, like,
so
Steph was fucking screaming every single time.
So dude. The kitchen scene, how did they do that? With all the gremlins, like
there was a lot of like air, water. Every time like they were splashing and stuff like that, it would spray water.
The blender scene was cool.
Dude, it was fucking awesome.
What the best part was when the old lady, Mrs. Deagle or whatever, goes flying up her chair.
What was cool about it? It was cool seeing people our age and older that obviously grew up with it, taking their kids to it for the first time. Because people were loving it.
There were a lot of people there.
It reassured me that like, yeah, kids can still like good things. These kids are fucking loving this movie when it's just like puppets and stuff.
Some of those movies are just timeless and they're never going to... They cross all generations.
The best thing that I want to bring up about this was I'm watching it and I'm like, holy fucking shit, Steph. That's JD from JD's Revenge.
Yes.
The biology teacher is fucking...
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's him. I was like, Steph, we have to look it up afterwards.
He's in a lot of stuff, actually.
But his voice and then even his delivery. I was like, oh my God, now I can't stop thinking. Say,
that's right. I fucked your bitch. Yeah.
God, it's so good.
So I wanted to bring up, because Ben was talking about we should do a Paperbacks from Hell, where the books are buried segment again. And or soon rather, because he's finishing up a book. But I just watched this movie on Netflix because I love torturing myself, so I'll purposely watch like fucking terrible shit like The Mandalorian.
You do. And
there's this movie on Netflix. And
John, why do you look like you ate a bunch of lemons?
I knew it was gonna be shitty. I knew this movie was gonna be shitty, but I was like, I'm gonna watch it anyway. It's called Eli.
Mm-hmm.
So I know nothing about it except other than like Netflix put it out. So I'm just gonna go through the fucking movie highlights for you guys, because I watch this movie and you're watching like, this movie's a piece of shit, and you just think it's a generic movie, like a piece of shit generic movie. Then it gets to the end and it's a piece of shit like generic movie with like this huge twist at the end, and I couldn't fucking believe it. It reminded me of like a William Johnstone book the whole time I was watching. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So just kept going on and on. All right, so. The description of this movie, rather, on IMDb is, a boy becomes trapped in a haunted house while undergoing treatment for a rare disease. That's the description of the movie, okay? Right. So the movie starts and a kid is in a bubble suit walking around. you come to find out that he has some weird random disease that you really don't know what it is yet, but he has like this, like he's super allergic to living in the world.
So he's like an immune disorder?
So yeah, something so like Jake that. Joel That's Hall. What like Got you're like, believe. I didn't know if he had like that rare like sun disease that people have where if they go out into the sun, they get like burn and shit. Mm-hmm. The parents end up taking him to a doctor who has this huge fucking haunted mansion that she has a lab set up in, and she claims that she can cure him. So as he starts undergoing the treatment, like it's apparently like super painful treatment, he starts seeing ghosts who leave him like this little message everywhere. It says L-I-E. And I thought like, oh, it's his name. It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were going to be smart with that, but they didn't. But actually, he comes to find out that it has that it's not lie. It's not lie. it's 317. It's a passcode to get into the doctor's office.
Okay.
So before he goes into the doctor's office, he meets this girl. Like this girl starts coming to him in this haunted mansion. There's a sliding glass door, and she starts talking to him on the opposite side of the sliding glass door. And I'm like, how did she come upon him in a mansion, and why is she talking with him? So the whole time you think it's a ghost. It's not a ghost, but I'll tell you what it is later.
This is a Johnstone book. Is everyone aware that it's haunted?
They don't believe him. Every time he starts trying to tell the parents are like, they believe the doctor. The doctor's like, it's hallucinations from the treatment. So... Where was I at? Okay, so he gets a passcode to get into the fucking doctor's office, and he finds all these documents about past patients that all died in the final treatment. And then he finds another picture with the doctor and all of her assistants dressed as nuns. And I'm just going to do a little fast forward here, guys, because I don't feel like going through like the boring parts of the movie, but guess what? He doesn't have a rare disease. He's the son of Satan. Yes. And the treatments they were doing on him, they were like injecting him with like holy water and doing all this ritualistic shit, because he finds a catacomb underneath the fucking mansion where there's all these antichrists that they've been killing. They've been finding where the antichrist is going to be reborn and killing them in this ritual.
The premise of that sounds insanely cool.
And it's not. It's fucking awful.
The execution is terrible.
I'm going to agree with John on that.
So then, guess who that girl was that was coming up to him?
Who?
His fucking sister, who is the goddamn daughter of Satan. And at the end, when he walks out and he starts using all of his fucking antichrist powers, like making shit burn and everything, she's out there with a fucking goddamn Hummer, and she's like, yeah, you passed the test, bro. Get in this Hummer. Bam!
Stop.
And they floor it. I swear to God.
In a Hummer.
Did she tell him to not, don't call me daughter?
Yeah. Don't call me daughter.
I don't know.
Even though I'm the son of Satan.
I don't know. If,
Billy Taylor's in it.
If that movie is as convoluted as that fucking Serenity movie.
Oh my God,
I keep hearing amazing things about this fucking movie.
We watched it.
Would you guys say this is Serenity now? Insanity later?
Matthew McConaughey?
So this is like supposed to be like, I remember seeing the trailers with you guys in the theater. I forget what we saw, but like it's supposed to be a thriller, right?
John, let me tell you something right now.
It's a thriller.
What you think you know about that movie, you have no fucking idea what that movie is.
Pressure to kill this girl's wife or husband. Wait, is this with
Anne Hathaway? Okay. Anne Hathaway's horny as fuck in
quickly,
it?
First of all, he's fucking Diane Lane. She looks fucking hot as shit, right?
Well, okay, I'm watching.
His ex is Anne Hathaway. They have a kid together. She comes, she's like...
Spoiler alert. We're going to get into spoilers.
Okay, it's fine.
Unless you guys care.
I kind of want to see it, but whatever.
So he has like PTSD from a war. Right. And while he was at war, she left him and she married some guy who's abusive. Then she shows up out of nowhere. She's like, I want you to murder my husband. Yeah. And the husband is the dad from Pet Sematary.
The new one. Yeah.
Jason Clark.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, his face, dude. But he actually, it works in that movie because he's supposed to be a dick. And so you already hate him before he's a dick. And then he's a dick and you're like, okay, this is fucking great.
Yeah. So basically he doesn't want to do it because he's like, I kind of like my life trying to catch this fish, this elusive tuna that I can't catch.
Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, when the twist comes in this movie, I was like, yo, where'd the ground at? I thought someone pushed me out of 747.
And sometimes, like, weird shit starts to happen where he's talking out loud to his son. Like, you think his son can, talking to the sky.
You think him and his son have special abilities where they can talk to each other at any time? Like, maybe his, but it's never really talked about.
The mom mentions it. She's like, you know, your son talks to you through his computer.
Yeah,
like, the kid's like a computer whiz. Like, he's like a brilliant kid.
So it comes to the part where she's like, all he does is sit in his room all day and make a video game about a guy that fishes all the time. And I was like, he's in the son's video game. And that's what the fucking movie is.
That's the twist. He's dead. He died in the war, and the son created this video game. And the best part of it, the son basically communicates with his dead father through the video game to get the courage to kill his stepfather.
Yes.
He murders his stepfather. Yeah,
he murders his stepfather.
This is great.
Wait. So does that mean that his son made a video game where his dad fucks Diane Lane?
Yes. That's what I was
saying. And here's my most important question.
What
are there a lot of fuck scenes with Diane Lane?
No, they don't show you. They don't really show much.
Wow. What are you talking about? There's fuck scenes.
But it's not like a lot. He also fucks Anne Hathaway in it, too.
Yeah, dude. Anne Hathaway's looking shwuckadish
fuck. So this is like some Pornhub stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I forgot. It was pretty pornish for a little bit there.
It sounds like a compelling.
Well, no, dude. It goes to places movies fear to tread. And I was like, this guy is a fucking arsonist of film. He's just fucking burning it down.
All right, up next, it's the Flux Incapacitator.
Do you believe in time travel? Future kill.
Flux
Incapacitator.
God is dead!
All right, so on this edition of the Flux Incapacitator, we will be discussing Ernest Scared Stupid from 1991.
Steph, how many trolls appear in this movie?
I mean, they all look the same, though. There's like three variations. Great
little mask.
When you're fucking paying them chiodes.
Yeah. So this was filmed in Nashville, Tennessee. It grossed $14 million in the box office, and it was the final Ernest film to be released under Disney label Touchstone Pictures.
Don't you think like Ernest P. Worrell is the progender to James McAvoy in Split? Like all the personalities?
Yes.
You get that feeling?
You know, it was weird. I feel like as a kid, I didn't find it as strange, but watching this movie as an adult, I was like, this is bizarre.
The character montages out of nowhere.
Yeah. That the children acknowledged.
Right.
You know?
M. Night Shyamalan wanted Jim Varney to be Mr. Glass and wear blackface.
No.
But then he died of AIDS.
So we have a list of Ernest movies.
Yeah, let's give me. I want to know because I just I want to hear them out loud because sometimes it just solidifies it like the wow factor.
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam. Ernest Goes to Camp, 87. Ernest Saves Christmas from 88. Ernest Goes to Jail, 90.
A hot version of Ernest, but the only thing that makes him hot is he doesn't wear a hat and he slicks his hair back, but he's just like. He's just fucking gripping ass and going like to all the women's.
Ernest Got Stupid from 91. Ernest Rides Again from 93. Ernest Goes to School from 94. Slam Dunk Ernest from 95. God. Ernest Goes to Africa in 97. And finally, Ernest in the Army.
They said this movie wasn't like as popular as the other Ernest movies because it would scare kids.
Yeah.
Kids like to be scared.
Fucking kids are pussies, though.
I don't remember
though.
Being scared by this movie, though.
I wasn't. No, exactly.
No, yeah. I remember loving this movie as a kid. Like, I watched it at my Aunt Sue's house, and I was like, I am obsessed.
It's like the tone of this movie is constantly Jim Varney physical comedy. Mm-hmm. It's the entire theme of this movie.
He's like a Looney Tunes character.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
Right, he gets crushed by a fucking trash compactor.
He's like a man out of time. It's like, he to me does not belong in the 90s at all. Like that kind of like shtick. But somehow it worked in that time frame for like, you know, 20 years.
Like he was the contemporary of fucking Pee Wee Herman, who Pee Wee Herman also had that kind of physicality.
Right, no, but Pee Wee Herman, it's hard to knock that. Like, I agree with you. Like, they're both like family entertainers, like Mr. Bean and shit. But like, there's just this different thing about Pee Wee Herman. I can't really.
He's weird.
Because that treehouse, that's straight up out of the fucking Pee Wee Playhouse. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to envision this playhouse and it's going to be
a treehouse. Exactly. So cool. It looks like a fucking. It looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles playset.
Well, when they show him fucking with the trash truck that has like all the innovations on it, you know, like with cleaning the trash can, it's like fucking straight up Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very time and place, but like he is like a staple of 90s physicality humor.
I mean, I guess.
I don't think you can replace him. Who would you replace him with?
No, you wouldn't replace him.
I wouldn't say you would replace him, but I'm just, I don't know.
You don't replace something that shouldn't have existed in the first place.
Exactly. I can't say that he had, like, this is the thing. This is what I mean. He did not have a huge impact on me as a child.
He existed in my childhood. Yeah. And I liked this movie, and I like Ernest Goes to Jail, and like, and I watched Ernest Goes to Camp a lot.
I feel the same way about Pee Wee Herman, though. Like, he existed in my childhood, but, like, there was so much other shit going on that, like, it was like a
Pee Wee Herman, I'll say more about Pee Wee Herman.
I mean, because I watch Pee Wee's Playhouse every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I feel like our generation was the first one that transcended, like, slapstick stuff. Like, I feel like our parents and grandparents were super, like, slapstick was the way. So, my parents were like, you will watch this old Russian comedy special, and it was called Adventures of Shurik. And
it was just, like executions.
Oh, no, my coverall! My coveralls are attached to this trolley. I am being dragged.
Benny, look at the way this man gets shot in the back of the head and he bounces off the fucking pavement. Look at that. Isn't that funny?
Isn't it funny how they're painting him out of his family photos like he didn't exist? LOL.
I just, like, I don't know. Like, I remember, like, getting up early for school and, like, putting on TNT. And then they always had, like, in syndication at the time, like, Black and White, Three Stooges.
My dad watched it a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so,
it's just like, it's also something that exists in my childhood.
So I want to say the beginning of this, like, I didn't remember.
Oh my God.
I watched it, but I didn't remember a thing about this movie.
I smoked some large amount of troll testicles before I started watching this, and just on the intro alone.
I was going to say, the intro, Jesse laughed at every ridiculous fucking face
fucking
he made.
Dying, like, way more than I should have been. I was like, this movie's fucking a delight, and we're only watching the intro for it. I just kept thinking, like, I wish there was like Fleshlight assortment attachments, like, that were just like every one of Jim Varney's mouths made, like, that he was doing, you put on there. Like, oh, Jim Varney, your pussy's so wet.
Ben was so mad when we started watching this. I was like hyped as fuck. I was like, yeah, fucking Ernest scared stupid. And he's like, I don't get it.
Wait, are you gonna say that Ernest has the progender fucking DSLs?
Yes.
He does have some kind of like Steven Tyler shit going on.
I was stubborn as shit until he's in the garbage truck. And
then
he
started laughing.
And he sees the doll and he's like, please don't use me. And he's like, don't worry, I'll make sure to write your doll parents like a nice letter. And I was like, fuck, this is stupid. I love this.
Yeah. He's so mad.
And the thing that gets me too about this movie is like, this is like whole cloth 90s where like all the male kids have bowl cuts to some variety. And when they're in the classroom and like they have the Halloween decorations up, I was like, holy shit, like you could not freeze frame better point in time than these 90s Halloween
decorations.
That's
what Steph was pointing out too. Steph's like, look at the fucking Halloween decorations. They're so awesome.
Yeah, I was like telling Ben, I was like, look at all the Beastol like characters.
Yeah,
I was
we like, have a bunch. So amazing. We have a bunch of those hanging in our house.
I don't know why the fuck his dog is named Rimshot. I never thought about that till I was an adult, how fucking just like absurd that name is, Rimshot.
Rimshot. Yeah, it feels rim job.
Inappropriate.
It's way too sexual. And him hanging around with kids too. I just like,
there's a lot of
kids out with children. Slow.
And every single parent in this movie, every single parent like wants nothing more than their kid to not hang out with Ernest. They're always like, do not fucking get into trouble with this guy.
He's like a fucking Looney Tunes sling blade. Nobody, like, I wouldn't trust him.
Hey, we're gonna go to 7-Eleven and get the milk.
I do like that was like the family curse though that the troll put on the Oral family.
To keep getting dumber.
That every generation would get dumber and dumber. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The highlight of this movie though is the fucking special effects, dude.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Prosthetics are great.
Also Eartha Kitt.
She's great.
She delivers like a 20.
So there's some fucking like Disney symbolism in here with the sexual kind of shit going on. You got super soakers full of milk killing trolls, aka kindergarten cum satiates Jim Varney. Mm. There's a fucking pussy in a tree.
Oh, there is.
The pussy in the tree.
There's a pussy in the tree?
What? There, yeah, where the fucking troll is.
The fissure.
It's a fucking fissure. And then there's a shot from inside the tree looking out. And there's roots. And the roots look like pubic hair. And I was like, Steph, this is this is pussy symbolism.
This is High Jessup's interpretation.
No. It was,
wait, what's that thing called when you're
hide
like,
in plain
you're
sight.
You're trying to make it work as a concept.
Eartha Kitt's house with all those sculptures, like, oh, it was amazing.
It reminded me of fucking Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, it was so
cool.
The
whole set, like with the mansion and everything.
I want to cover that movie so bad.
I love how the first troll just had boogies all over his face. And then when all the other trolls grew out of the tree, they all had boogies all over.
So again, not having been exposed to this movie, when I'm watching, I'm like, holy shit, like the troll costumes and the prosthetics are so good. I'm like, when they fucking get shot with milk, they're probably going to melt. It's going to be crazy.
No.
And they're like, never mind. It's that third act Hellraiser thing where we make electricity zoom around them and they disappear.
That would be cool. And like that's why I feel like the Kill Bills had a lot of missed opportunities because they could have made like actual horror movies with that. But this is like a fucking kids movie. So I get it.
They had the seeds, like the eggs when they were growing.
They
Those
were cool.
are so fucking
yeah.
sick.
They look like fucking
they, like,
gremlins.
Tendrils and shit growing into them.
Yeah,
they look like the fucking pods. Gremlin pods. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Talk about what as a child when you watched this movie, what was the most disturbing thing to you?
When they get changed into wood. When they get changed into wood, guys, and they're like, what?
And then you're like, oh my god, that's an action figure with no articulation.
And then the troll places them in the little chook in the tree.
It's like John's like, oh, thank god I got my Resident Evil 3 Collector's Edition box. Let me take it out of the styrofoam.
You know me too well.
The part that freaked me out was when the troll was like assuming the voice of the little girl. As a little kid, that probably would have made me shit my pants. Because as a little kid, that part in the gate where they're like, you've been bad, made me shit my pants.
The troll's voice is like, I don't know, it's weird, but I wouldn't say it's scary. It kind of sounds like someone farting through a soup can most of the time. I can't understand what the fuck he's saying. It's like...
I feel like I missed this part of the movie. Was there an explanation about the milk or no?
The book.
Don't they say it's like mother's love?
Oh, mother's love. Yeah, that's right. Mother's love. It's fucking...
Cow's milk is mother's love?
Yeah.
Not your mom, not your milk.
The kid that's like trash talking to mom. I didn't want to wear this outfit. You know what, mom? I love you. I'm like, no, that's not how that would have went down. They'd be like, you're going home and I'm going to drag you by the back of your hair.
I love you, mom. Let's breastfeed like I used to.
Mama, remember when you used to hold me to your breast?
I need to feel you near me. I need to touch you. When I was a baby, you always used to hold me to your breast. I loved your breast so much, Mama.
All right, if you looked at Ben, you would know that he's never been breastfed.
I'm not putting this little teethy creature on my nipple. Look at him.
Well, you came out with a fucking mustache, so they're like, you're too bristly.
No, your mom's like, I'm not putting that kid with coffin teeth and a mustache on my nipple.
I love that the end of the whole solution to this troll problem was just that unconditional love of a child. Ernest had to go and like, oh,
hug him.
Give me a hug.
Yeah,
let's dance the waltz.
He had to sacrifice himself like fucking like Jacko with the propofols.
No,
like, I gave up myself to you, children.
Did somebody say propofol?
Ernest at the Neverland Ranch.
The Neverland Ranch in the sky.
Gee, Michael, who are we gonna fuck tonight?
No,
Bernie, you gotta keep it down, okay? You're like at an 11. I need you to be down here with me.
Listen,
yellow.
Come on, MJ. I've already had a black. I had a yellow. I need to get me some kind of red skin around my
Jimmy,
dick.
Jimmy.
No.
Jimmy, that's a hard cut, Jimmy. Jimmy, Neverland Ranch cannot have the cornucopia of all the races. Okay?
I'm sorry. I just saw it since we're here. It's the truth nest. Now that we're in the afterlife. Jim Varney was like besties with fucking Robin Williams. When they would hang out, they would literally hang on each side of the door, jerking off. My theory is that Jim Varney and Robin Williams had a death pact, and Jim Varney cut the noose and just left the hotel.
No, notebook.
Left them there.
We've got two distinct semen stains, and they both couldn't have come from the Robbie Wills.
And I could tell just by the texture of that one, that definitely some Varney splooge. I heard somebody say, I'm sludging a nut, and only Jim Varney says sludging a nut. Nobody else used that terminology when they're coming.
the part where like the troll gets an upgrade and he gets fucking like appendages.
Oh,
he gets little
shit.
like
dude, he looks
tendrils on his he gets little tendrils on his ears.
He looks like a Doom character.
Yeah,
when he gets upgraded.
I like that fucking troll because he's like 90% head.
Yeah.
He basically looks like a head with like arms and legs
he has
coming out of it.
Tiny little eyes that do not fit the proportions
and
of his head.
Did you have trolls growing up? Did you ever buy any of the trolls?
I did buy some trolls.
I had the power trolls that had the gem on them. Do you remember?
I had the Terminator troll. He was like,
yes. Oh, yeah, they had armor. And
yeah,
guns.
Wait,
and
we all have the same one.
I don't
yeah.
know about
yeah.
this one.
Yeah, that's when they started like branching out from the trolls and making it more of an action figure than just like a doll.
Yeah, dude, say what you want about trolls. Like they were like in the beginning, trolls were like a girl's thing, but they had this fucking collectability that even though you were a fucking guy, you're like, yes. yo, but I still want that troll.
Yeah,
I had some.
I don't care. It's like in my brain knowing that like Mighty Max was just a male version of Polly Pocket, but just being okay with it anyway.
Yeah. I was like, yo, that troll is kind of like not cool, but
dang, but he got cute
hair. I'm gonna spend my whole allowance on that troll. Oh shit, Terminator troll! I just walked in with my pants off and like a red little dick, and just fucking gave him empty my piggy bank. Just said, take it off.
Oh,
all right, so I think I'll end this.
Yeah,
you guys have anything else
thank
to say?
God. I mean, I recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend it.
It holds up. It holds up.
Yeah. It was
it
fun.
Does.
So I thought I would end this with some Steph quotes that I wrote down while Steph was watching the movie. Yeah.
Why's that troll got so many boogies? Does he have two noses? Why does he have two noses? Oh, that's why he has so many boogies. No one would waste pizza like that.
That's true.
Why are these trolls born with clothes on?
That's a good point.
Hold on. Do these trolls have boogies too?
Yup.
There's some more boogie faces. Why is that troll whipping that man's butt?
All right, now for some trailer trash.
You're late.
I'm sorry we had a small mishap.
Here are the keys. Here are ours.
Have a nice stay at Milbar.
You in our city.
Still telling the same story, Josh?
Powers of evil are very strong here. I must leave.
Goblins don't exist. Goblins don't exist.
And remember...
Stop the car, Dad! I'm sick!
They're eating her! Well, they're going to eat me! Dizzy.
Kids with a sweet tooth like yours love ice cream.
Delicious and purified.
To bring you our feature presentation.
Our feature presentation is Troll 2 from 1990, a Patreon pick by Chip Chip.
This movie's like a big warm hug around you. It's like when your mom used to hold you up to her breast.
My mom never did. I was bottle fed.
Like, no, drink her breast milk. Like mother's milk.
Was the breast milk chunky and green?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like ricotts. No. My mom's breast milk would come out like ambrosia.
I love ambrosia. It was also known as Goblins, which was the USA working title.
Probably would have made more sense.
Monster Valley from Chile and Spain.
Is that what Italian herpes look like? Just got like a bunch of little trolls coming out.
No, that's the salad dressing they made out of fucking Milbog milk.
Oh my God. That shit is fucking... No, I call that fragaz the whole time. Because it's just like, that's what his nut looks like.
A little bit of fragaz. We got a little fragaz. Wait,
are you telling my the Claudio Fragazio cum is looking like a Milbog milk?
Sometimes the pre-cum drippage look like marshmallow.
The vegans, they come in green chunky milk. It's true.
The original product is meat. So you're getting meat. Yeah, you're making it into a vegetable, but you're still, it's meat first. So that doesn't make, if it's meat first, just because you turn into a vegetable next doesn't make you a vegetarian. You're technically eating the meat first. These fucking trolls being vegetarians, I don't buy it.
The Return of Troll from the Netherlands. PG-13 and unknown budget, unknown gross.
All we know, it was super low. Super low. Low budget.
Taglines. One was not enough.
I mean, midgets are like Lay's potato chips. Italians understand that, like, you know, unlike fucking Ron Howard, you want to see a midget run. You don't just want to see a midget walking around the forest. I want to see a midget running.
Ron Howard had him dancing in an entire village.
Yeah, but you never saw Willow when he was journeying running.
Be afraid, be twice as afraid.
I mean, I get it. My mama told me once. My mama told me twice. My mama told me three times. Nice. Preteen. Want to see them preteen shorts. Want to see them preteen shorts. Want to see them preteen shorts.
I don't know.
The little kids in their preteen shorts frolicking around the RVs and shit like that. Yeah.
I thought it was a real song.
Those are not preteens, by the way.
I thought it was like a song. No, was like,
they're supposed to be preteens.
They're supposed to be teens because they're driving.
No, they're driving the fucking teens. RV, dude.
I don't know. Listen, when a guy is in like a barn and says, why don't you take the shortcut preteen through the woods? And you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. And you just do it.
Well, that kid was dumb.
It horrifies you in your sleep and haunts you for life.
What's the best way to describe the mom? Haunted.
Intense.
That woman is fucking haunted.
Yeah. Haunted. Oh, yeah, that's accurate. Oh my God. I want to talk about her scenes in the fucking documentary.
Something haunts her entire life to this day.
I think it's her mother.
Her mother.
There's nothing more frightening than a little boy's nightmare until it turns real. But was it? I mean, it was a story. It wasn't really a nightmare.
I mean, if it was Jesse's little boy nightmare, it would be a dog talking in the basement.
Jesse!
Jesse! Give me some food, Jesse!
Like little Jessup Dream Master. And it's like me. I wear like women's asses as helmets. And I shoot lasers out at the fucking basement devil dogs.
And finally, the original boogeyman is back.
Speaking of boogeyman, fucking Rob Zombie. He's your boogeyman. Michael Myers comes in and starts 69 with him, and then fucking Malcolm McDowell comes in and puts his penis in his butt and it clicks like a Megazord, and then Cherry Moon shows up and she's like, I'm Rita Repulsa! I'm an Asian!
All right, back of the VHS. The terror returns in this horrifying sequel to Troll. One little boy's nightmare becomes a hellish reality when no one will believe his warning about the evil that is coming to destroy his family. Only through his belief and his grandpa Seth with a Molotov cocktail can Joshua save his family from the vegetarian vegans who keep telling them that they're not.
They're not vegans.
Like when they're eating the mom in the tub and you see her breast. There's still breast meat on that, but yeah. It's mixed with Jell-O.
All right, so directed by Claudio Fragazzo. He directed Hell of the Living Dead, Rats, Night of Terror.
Rats. What do they want from us? Rats. Why are they man's enemy? Rats. They're watching, waiting. Rats.
Monster Dog.
Monster Dog has the same tone as this movie. It's fucking strange, and Alice Cooper's in it.
Listen, werewolves do exist.
Oh, bullshit, Vince. The year 2000 is just around the corner. I am a recognized expert in electronic videos, and you are the hottest rock and roll star in the world.
Sometimes I'm James Bond. Sometimes I'm Billy the Kid. Sometimes I feel like Sherlock Holmes. Sometimes I feel like Jack the Ripper.
Okay, we'll continue. Zombie 3, Strike Commando 2, After Death, Beyond Darkness, Night Killer.
I have to carry these poopy bags around because you're all dogs.
Yeah. Hey, bud, what happened to your clothes?
I got molested in the little boy's room.
The best is when the one person's like asking, like, yeah, so how come the movie's called Troll 2 and there's no actual trolls in this film?
And my first question is, who's Bowser fucking? He has all these children.
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
With the Mario Brothers and plumbing's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. A treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the brim.
Music by Carlo Maria Cordio.
He's my fucking hero, this guy. I love him.
Italian Jesse's doppelganger.
He is like the fucking best, dude.
I'm convinced he's your pep. Like, there's like, you guys share like a chromosome.
Dude, he's fucking so funny. I don't think he talks in it, but he's in the documentary a lot, and he's always just like totally into the music that he's doing at the time. Fucking Italian.
I like to imagine him in like a very small Italian town, and he sits down to dinner, and his wife comes out, and she looks like Steph, but she's got like different hair, and she's like, I make you linguine tonight, and he's like, do you say linguzzi? Are you saying linguzzi right now? Because that's not what you're supposed to say. It's linguini. And he just roasts her for 20 minutes.
I thought you were going to say his wife comes out and then he's eating dinner and then she turns on a little metronome and it's like, doot, 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 and he throws all the food off the table and he just pulls his Casio up and he's like, and then he just fucking, all of a sudden, midgets come running in the fucking room in like potato sacks.
He is known for, or unknown for, I don't know, Absurd, Pieces, Ator the Fighting Eagle, Iron Warrior, Enigma, Zombie 5, Killing Birds, Witchery, Sunny Boy, Superstition 2, Curse 2, The Bite, Beyond the Door 3, Beyond Darkness, Night Killer, and The Crawlers.
When I was a little kid, all the little bambinis would make fun of my middle name. They would say, you're a female.
You're a female.
You're a female. You know what else they would call me? They would call me Scary Mary Fruitcake Fairy, because my middle name's Maria, and I'd get so mad at them, I would go home and I would write a soundtrack where I stabbed their faces.
Makeup department, Maurizio Trani. He was definitely
a baker by trade.
He was a lot of flour.
Fergaz went in there and he was like, I love the way he made an Elmo cupcake. He's going to make all the trolls in this movie.
Could you make a troll that looks like Beavis?
All right, cool. He's like, come here, dog. You make this Elmo face, you make troll man.
Dude, the Umbuga's troll? That's Sarah's
But they are goblins.
The one
the yellow eye one? Oh, my God.
I love that in this movie, it doesn't happen often, but every now and then they zoom up on their teeth and there's a tongue going in there going blah, 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 blah.
Steph loves that part at the end when he's like, want some? And it's like, la, 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 la. licking the teeth that are not attached to a mouth. They're actually attached to a mask. Like
floating in the background. Makes no fucking sense.
He worked on Zombie Holocaust, The Beyond, House by the Cemetery. There's a lot of good movies here.
Dude, but look.
New York Ripper, Manhattan Baby, Wild Beast, Cut and Run.
Dr. Freudstein, his fucking face looks exactly shittily sculpted as a fucking troll, too.
Dude, he's Umbuga's troll. He looks just like him.
before you get locked in.
There's someone in
read
here, Mommy!
Read the fine print.
Mommy, hurry!
You may have just mortgaged your life. Due to the graphic nature of this film, no one under 18 will be admitted. House by the cemetery.
He's like, they don't understand. Italian fucking bakers don't know how to make actual, like, facial anatomy. They're like, there's a lot of peaks, like, that don't exist on a human face.
The kid with the bark face is instantly a zombie from, like, any of the films.
Looking at one of those trolls is like looking at a Joy Division album cover. It's just fucking zigzags on their fucking face all over the place. He's like, I don't know how to sculpt. I don't know how much eggs to use, Fragas. You're a dog!
Cast. The entire cast went to a casting call hoping to be extras and ended up in lead roles. As a result, most of them do not have any acting credits outside of this film. George Hardy, who plays Michael Waits, went on to star in several indie horror films in the mid-2000s, and Michael Paul Stevenson, who plays Joshua, directed a documentary about the filming of Troll 2 in 2009 called Best Worst Movie, which is the goddamn fucking best.
It is.
Oh my god.
It's like so just good. As good as Troll 2.
I don't know if you remember this, Jess, but you had me watch the documentary before I ever even saw the movie. And so for me, like, going into the movie after seeing the documentary, I just, like, appreciated it on, like, a totally different level.
It endears you to the film, like, incredibly.
I had the complete opposite reaction when I saw Troll 2 for the first time. I fucking just, it was, like, one of my most beloved, like, how I love Spookies is how I love Troll 2. I will say, like, this is a totally, has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but me and Steph just watched, I made her watch for the first time the Deadly Games. It is like one of those movies, it's a French movie, it's not Italian, but it has that same feel where it's like patchwork, where the editing makes no fucking sense whatsoever. It's like basically like, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about it, even if you haven't seen it, it's like a Home Alone kind of ripoff type. I mean, Home Alone ripped off this, is what everybody says, but it's basically a kid trapped in this fucking castle house that he lives in, with this fucking Santa dude that comes in, he has to like defend his house and he sets all these booby traps. But when he's setting booby traps and it makes no sense. An arrow will go through Santa's neck, and then in the next scene, the kid is fucking building a grenade, and the Santa has no arrow in his neck or blood. It's fucking strange, dude.
He's 9 years old. His name is Thomas. He's a little genius. He believes in Father Christmas. His two favorite pastimes? Computers and superheroes. December 24th, midnight. Hidden under the dining room table, Thomas waits for Father Christmas. But what he does not know is that he is about to experience the most frightening night in his entire life.
Yeah, it's on Prime.
Yeah, watch it. It's on amazing. Shudder.
It's fucking, dude, you have to watch it. It's like gonna become like a regular in my like rotation now with Christmas horror movies. It's
insane.
It's so fucking fun, and it's shot so goddamn good too, and the budget is like pretty legit, so it kind of blows your mind. You're like, it kind of gives you a weird feeling like that movie Toys did with Robin Williams.
Oh my gosh, that movie makes me so uncomfortable.
That movie is a fever dream.
Let's talk about the documentary a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, I want to talk about my fucking favorite part in the whole documentary is when, I mean, there's so many goddamn good parts, but my favorite part, just because it's something that I feel when I go to horror cons all the time.
George Hardy hating on the horror cons.
Is when George Hardy goes to the horror con. And the documentary is great because, like, the way it goes is, like, you know, when he's first introduced that people have a love for this movie, he's, like, he's riding, like, a high from it. And he thinks, like, oh, it's like this everywhere. And then he goes
to some screenings that are packed, yeah. And people are and just like, goes, oh, like, crazy.
I felt so bad, though, because he's like, he's a dentist in real life. And he's like having all of his aides call everybody on his patient list to get him to go to a screening in his hometown.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you don't like, you're separating this from like niche horror fans that like grew up with this, that like saw it, and versus like forcing all these people in your hometown
to watch it. Yeah, it's fucking great. But I love when he goes to the HorrorCon because he's walking around. He's so freaked out. He's so grossed out.
They all got gingivitis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
He walks around and he looks at the one poster and he's like, who wants this shit? These people have lost it.
We were watching that scene and I was like, oh my goodness, hey, yeah. That vendor in the background, I bought hoodies from her back in the day. Yeah.
I like how he can't even, it's like Nightmare on the Elm Street.
Yes.
It's also the same kind of time when like Halloween 3 hadn't picked up speed either.
Yeah, you think about people in like the horror genre and everybody wants to be the first to like something. And then you go back and watch this documentary and you're like, oh shit, people are liking this like way before like I ever even heard of it. It's just crazy to think like that many people were filling a theater for this movie in like early 2000s in New York. You know?
It's like a time capsule of haircuts.
Yeah. It really is.
Oh my choices. Gosh. All the Castro hats.
The Upright Citizens Brigade. I was just like fucking dude. I used to watch that shit all the time.
And I think it's really interesting how it starts off though. Like the kid is like, you know, he goes to see George Hardy and then like they're talking about their experience at the movie. And then like they go and try to like meet up with other cast members and then they go to Margot's praise house.
Well, there's like a mixture of like characters that like the actors that like have a reluctance, and like George Hardy is like the only one that kind of like doubles down on like, no, like this is my notoriety, I'm gonna do this.
Because he doesn't care though. Like he wasn't.
He's comfortable in his life.
Right. So he's not a struggling actress. Like the girl
the
who
sister.
Plays.
Oh yeah, the sister. Yeah. She's so like embarrassed.
Yeah. I think at this point now that they've accepted it. Like they were embarrassed, but now they see that like there is like this true like cult like. You know, but there's also
like a weird, like the grandfather, the general store owner, and the wife all have this really depressing psychosis.
Yeah, well, like the grandfather is like, I twiddled my life away. I guess just how it is. I never had a wife or kid.
Yeah, he's like living in like a cluttered fucking house, and like
he's a hoarder.
Yeah. It is sad. He's like, I never had a Netflix and chili night.
I think it's easy to attach your main protagonist or attach like the whole documentary to George Hardy because he's so like relentlessly positive.
Yeah.
It is like incredible. Like they showed pictures of him when he was younger. He's like a young He-Man. Yeah.
He does look like a young He-Man.
But he's so positive.
Someone did describe him as the rich man's Craig T. Nelson. Yes, so.
But yeah, like he's very positive and he's positive throughout it. And even watching his arc of being like, oh, this the fame and the cult status of this film is going to guide me through into a second renaissance of making movies, and then finding out it doesn't work for him, he's still like at the end of it he's like, well, I love being a dentist and I love the experience and I loved everything about it.
Oh my god, but he's at the HorrorCon and he's like, I got important, you know, I got teeth to think about, you know. And I got stuff to worry about too that's more important than, you know, special effects in some movie computer.
Me, Drew, and John was on the podcast before, went to a screening of it. I talked about it before for Troll 2, and like I met him briefly. I didn't really fucking get to talk to him or anything like that, because it was like Phil Mocha was like sold out for this particular screening, but he was up there. And you know, you just get the idea that he's a normal dude. I mean, you know that from watching the movie. Clearly it's not like a big budget movie, but like just the way he is, he's like everybody else, you know. He gets uncomfortable speaking in front of people. And they screened, I want to play the trailer, but he's in it and he's basically like reprising his role, but it's not tied to the troll. Like none of the people in the other troll movie that made it are in this one, except for George Hardy. None of the people that made it are involved either. But it's called Under Control.
This is a story about one dangerous and very angry troll.
This is your end and our beginning.
You'd be angry too if you were locked up inside a statue for 700 years. Now that he's been set free, this troll is out for revenge.
Delicious. You are delicious.
He wants nothing less than to end mankind. So he possesses Vanessa Meyer, who transforms to Vanessa Troll.
No!
Then goes completely bonkers.
A caution sign would help, you stupid old!
But there's one man who knows exactly what's going on.
Mickle, Mackle, Muckle, Mookle, Meekle, Michael, wait!
A troll expert.
These creatures can transform themselves into human beings anytime they want.
He tries to warn people, but no one takes him seriously. Will they realize what grave danger they face?
If it's not too late already.
Will mankind survive?
Find out in Under Control, coming soon.
I just want to talk about the convenience store owner real quick, too, because we mentioned him briefly, but he always, I mean, clearly he's a fucking demented individual, and he looks like he has like 20 clothespins in his urethra at all times, because he looks like he's in so much discomfort.
He's Albert Fish?
Yeah, like he's just like, I want to, yeah, and he hates that fucking, he hates the Mormon kid, and he's like, that little
kid. He's like, I want to fucking kill that kid.
I wanted like, to strangle him every time I saw him. I was like, yeah, there's some problems there. I mean, they were kind
of. Well, when he goes into his, like, his, it looks like he's living in a halfway house. He's like, these are my friends. He's like, stuffed animals.
Oh my God, dude.
He's like, ha ha ha. Yeah, everybody's like, got something.
I mean, he does talk about like being hospitalized and stuff. Like,
well,
he,
and that's another kind of thing about the documentary that's kind of like almost touching, because like he goes to the screening and he doesn't tell them he's coming, but they see him in the audience and they're like, come on up, and he goes up and he's like, it was the best moment of my life.
Yeah,
he was on like work release.
Yeah, he was really great. But I want to go back to Margot, because I feel like, again, like with this mental illness thing, like at first she seems like kind of normal, but then like she's clearly like agoraphobic for one, because she doesn't want to leave her house.
Also, all the fucking imagery of the cats.
Oh,
listen, oh my God, the she's cat. Wearing a cat shirt.
What, she's just Steph, you know.
I love it. I love when George Hardy's like, I kept trying to put my coat on, like saying like we're gonna leave, and the grandma's like, putting your coat on's not gonna make them leave any faster. And they just, and they zoom in on the grandma's face, and she just looks fucking pissed, because it's just like normal people dealing with some real ass shit behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah, wait, I love how they talk about how like they only got like parts of the script, and they really didn't know what the full movie was going to be like.
Yeah,
and how like, you know, they had like these weird ass lines, like the teenagers, and then that, you know, they would be like, well, like, we wouldn't say that. And the director was like, no, I know how Americans teenagers speak.
Oh my God, that voice you just did, I want to hear more of it. I want to hear more of that little creature just came out of the cage.
Like, I think Fergasso is the only person that comes off looking like a prick the whole time.
He kind of does.
He's like, he's like, lacks the complete self-awareness of, like, and they mentioned in the documentary of, like, these other B-movie directors kind of, like, relishing in the fact that, like, their movies over time get cult status. But he's like, no, I make a serious film with serious themes, like loss and life and people going throughout their lives.
Well, I think it's like one of those things where you watch him and like you see all the American cast, because they know that he's foreign, they're kind of being like giving him a pass on what a dick he is.
Yeah, they're
like,
nice.
Oh yeah, like,
well, also you're in a movie, so right. It's like, and then like these people that were particular were probably more excited than an actual actor to be in a movie, because they'd never be in movies again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they're just like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna deal with anything this guy wants me to do, because I'm gonna be in a fucking movie.
But they're being nice and like telling an anecdote, and he's like so fucking mad about it, because he thinks he made like fucking, like, he's like, this is like Citizen Kane. Like, he thinks everything he made is Citizen Kane.
And I don't follow the critics, and the critics don't follow me.
They laugh at the funny parts, they laugh at the unfunny parts.
Yeah.
Steph, they were all funny parts.
Let's keep this creature out of its cage.
Formats. VHS released in 1992 by Columbia TriStar Home Video. DVD released as part of a double feature along with Troll from 86 by MGM Studios in 2003. Blu-ray first released in 2010 by MGM Studios as the 20th anniversary Nilbog edition, and released again as part of a double feature paired with Troll by Shout Factory in 2015. Digital, available to rent or own through Amazon Prime and iTunes. Trivia. Director Claudio Fragasso is still angry about the film's poor reception. He crashed a cast reunion in QA after he was escorted out of the room. He heckled the cast from the hallway, calling them liars and dogs as they answered fan questions.
That's fucking the best, dude. I love it.
You know nothing, you dog! Although the movie was titled Troll 2 to capitalize on the minor success of Troll, it has no connection to the plot or production of the earlier film. George was told that he got the role partially because the Italians loved the energy he put into it.
Yeah, that's all you need.
He's got the energy of a Labrador Retriever, let's just be real.
He looks like a Labrador Retriever. Maybe he's an Animorph.
I think he's a Buzz.
That's why he couldn't be married to that woman anymore, because he could only have sex as Labrador form.
Oh, no.
She's like, we got a divorce.
She's clearly a horsewoman.
I can't take that Labrador dick anymore, George.
You keep eating socks while you're fucking.
I'm imagining, like, fucking him, like, coming out of dog form, like half his lower half is still dog and he's fucking, and his upper half is just George Hardy, and his sock is like coming out of his mouth, and he's like,
Aah! To keep his family from eating food that some goblins have obviously tampered with, young Joshua stands up and urinates all over the spread. At first, a less revolting approach was planned. In the original script, I jump on the table and I say, I'm possessed. But as soon as the scene was actually performed, Fragasso decided to tweak it. He told Stevenson, you walk around the table up to the chair and you piss on this food. At one point in Troll 2, we see Arnold and his friends hanging out in front of a TV set, watching a man in an ape costume being rocket launched through the air. This clip was from 1983's Grunt, an Italian-made caveman comedy in which some Cro-Magnons worship a magical egg.
I mean, it wasn't funny. It was just strange.
In Quest for the Mighty Sword from 1990, which revolves around an ancient society rife with magic and samurai-like warriors, we meet a little creature named Grindel, whose suit was a recycled troll costume from Troll 2.
Imagine how that shit held up.
I'm sure.
All that fucking baking powder and fucking...
Marks, when he hits the hand at the end of the film, it like balls, explodes in the plaster.
That is one of my favorite parts when they're talking to the little people and they're
the gloves.
And they're talking about the glove hands and he's like,
yeah, we put these gloves on my hand and look at... They're not feeling the glove. Oh, wait.
And he wiggled his fingers and then they showed like a close-up of the little troll hands moving like this and it's just bendy gloves.
Floppy, yeah.
Oh my God.
It was Italian screenwriter Rossella Drudi who concocted Troll 2's unusual premise. I came up with a story about goblins who were vegetarians because at that point in my life, I had many friends who'd become vegetarians and it pissed me off. So I had the idea of replacing the vampires in the traditional vampire story with vegetarians.
That woman has mental problems.
That woman also clearly shows that she has not been a vegetarian through her life.
Her teeth look like she's a concretarian, where she just goes outside and just chews rocks.
We will be back after this brief intermission.
In your brain already full of mush, you want to pollute that worthless mind of yours even more. Seek out the devil worshippers and to purify their spirits by burning them!
Baby. The man has gone berserk while watching a double feature horror program.
Love and lust are the same to him, like being raped by the devil. His kind of love can only bring you sin, and his arms can only bring you evil.
Satan is real.
Beyond the limits of mortal fear, outside the realm of imagination, there's a place where every nightmare you've ever had comes true.
Pleasant nightmares, friend.
Greetings, loyal listener. It's your old pal, the Picarist, here. You must have done something really awful to end up in a place like this. Let me guess. You were burnt at the stake for practicing witchcraft. Nah, too old world. You were fried in the electric chair for cannibalizing your neighbors. Nah, too many calories. I got it. You're in league with Satan. In the nombre de Padre, del Hijo, del Spirito Santo, demon be gone! It's like my mother always used to say.
Get a job doing something you love, and it'll never feel like work.
Well, let me tell you something. I was born to do the devil's work. Now, where is that infernal soul extractor? Aha! You see, people think the soul leaves the body when you die, but that's simply not true at all. It hides, and it's my job to find it! Right now, you're probably asking yourself,
well, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a lower-level corpse.
Ask no more, my unindoctrinated friend. You can visit our website at SayYouLoveSatanPodcast.com. There, you can buy the latest in corpse wear, leave a voicemail to be featured on Spill Your Guts, or support the show directly by becoming a Patreon member and supplying Satan with cold, hard cash. Send your hate mail to SayYouLoveSatanPodcast@gmail.com. Join the devil worship on Facebook at Say You Love Satan 80s Horror Podcast, or Follow the Congregation of Degradation on Instagram at Say You Love Satan Podcast. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes to be automatically entered to win a free t-shirt. And before you go, there's just one more little thing I'll be needing. It won't hurt much.
All of the mutilations, bodily dismemberments, and cannibal rituals were performed by seasoned professionals. Please do not attempt any of these stunts at home.
Little trolls, but what do guys wish for?
Battle trolls are out of control!
Battle trolls! Big haired dudes with bad attitudes! Born to battle! Even other battle trolls! Troll call! Trollinator! Controlula! Nunchuck troll! Bullseye troll and the Trollnet launcher! Fen troll and his Trollosaurus!
Battle trolls!
Out of control! Trolls and troll sets each sold separately!
Peter was a courageous boy.
That was really aggressive, like right up front.
Because you told me to make it like a deep voice.
No, all right, no, keep going.
No, do it.
Lower,
do
lower.
That voice you did.
Vader was a courageous boy, but that...
Oh my god, me and Steph were sitting on the couch last night, and I'm like, Steph, okay, do the voice you're gonna do when you read this, and she was just kept doing the same voice. Peter was, I was like, you're not doing a voice. She's like, I don't know how to do a voice, and I was like, make your voice deep, like a good old person. So I was like, so go like this. And she's like, that is not a voice. I was like, do a voice like you do when you're doing my voice, because when she's doing my voice, she's always like,
wait, why have we never heard this?
Well, I can't read like that. Peter was a courageous boy. I can't say words.
Okay.
You became Stallone?
Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call him Frankenstein. And the tavern down the street is the laboratory where he makes the transformation all the time. And a shine of Dr. Bud is a pint of Monster Blue, and it does affect me different every time. Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call me Frankenstein. And they call me Frankenstein. Yeah, I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein.
Good luck.
Peter was a courageous boy, but that Donnie could feel fear stick to his skin like dew on leaves. The fog was thick enough to make him lose his way home. Then he began to hear strange noises coming from the depths of the forest. He noticed a presence, small shadows that seemed to giggle.
Who were they, Grandpa?
Cruel, deformed forest dwellers, haughty creatures, spiteful and impudent. They are the vengeful and evil goblins, little people of the night.
And it's a close-up of Grandpa Seth's, like, dog biscuit teeth the whole time as he's telling us. It's just, like, little crumbles of, like, pedigree around his mouth.
And then we have the intro.
The intro, which is just, hey, you know it's about trolls, right? Okay.
Here are the trolls.
Here comes troll goblins running at the screen. There's no, like, build-up to it at all. It's just like, this is what you're going to say.
Y'all know about trolls. Yeah, I have a burlap sack goblins chase Peter through Sherwood Forest because he's dressed like Peter.
That's what the Germans dress.
It's like Peter Pan Robin Hood.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like if the Ku Klux Klan designed a straw hat.
It's like, this is what Steph wanted to say. It's like
fall.
Kevin Costner if he could fly and face fuck people. Yes. Like Peter Pan. It'd just be Kevin Costner would just be like, pop, 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 pop.
Also, the spear designs are questionable because they look like little, like,
oh my god, those spear designs are legit.
It's excellent.
And I love when the fake freckle woman brings him
First Peter does the flippity flip, and then he's unconscious.
What does he do?
He does the flippity flip, and he lands, and he's unconscious. He's unconscious.
I'm unconscious!
And when he wakes up, then there's the woman with the fake freckles.
Yeah, and she's like, here, I have Claudio Fragazzi's bedpan. I'm going to pour it in your mouth. And he's like...
And he keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah, well, it cuts back to Grandpa Seth, and he's like, and then, wouldn't you believe it? The Jews did 9/11. Okay, now back to the story.
I mean, it's like the food coloring we used to dye eggs when we were kids.
It's toxic food dye.
You enjoy. Yeah. They are not actually green.
Pre-gelatinizing.
I don't remember that shit dyeing your skin, though,
I imagine everything that was used for special effects was not intended use, like what they were using. It's just like they held the midgets down. They just got a caulk gun and just put the caulk right over the midgets' faces.
Yeah, the enamel paint will wash off. It's fine.
You know, shit like that was definitely happening.
So mom walks in and she's wondering, why is Joshua still up? Doesn't blink. She never blinks.
The dead giveaway is not only her eyes, it's her hair. Her hair looks like she's one of them people that, like, aggressively brushes her hair like Steph's mom did when she was, like, a little girl. And she's like, I told you to clean up your fucking ponies. Don't leave your shit around the house, Steph. I'm not the mayor of Shit Town.
She makes bald spots.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? The chair that Grandpa Seth was sitting in is rocking by itself, and the mom takes no notice of that.
So then it cuts to downstairs, and this is the best, because the dad is a real fucking asshole, because he's on the phone with, like, his business partner, and he's like, yeah, so I'm going to be gone for a month, so can you just take care of that business for me? Okay, yeah, great, click. And I would be like, what the fuck, dude? You're going to be gone for an entire month?
Who goes on vacation for a month? A month?
Yeah, and he's like, we're leaving tomorrow. I was like, you gave me no fucking heads up with this.
Also, Georgie Boy's like, I'm going to pour egg whites into this mixture with
this is my favorite protein powder.
Yeah. He's a buff daddy.
He's like, when you drink egg whites, it goes right to the nuts, and he's just pouring. Look.
No, and by the way, what's next? Isn't it when it goes to Holly, who's been doing some bench presses?
Okay, that girl is an eating disorder.
Her pelvis is sticking out.
I got an eating disorder watching Holly.
I mean, there was.
You know what I'm saying?
Your dick wants to eat. I don't understand.
But tell me.
I mean, tell us how you feel about looking at a 15-year-old girl.
Tell us
how you
feel. Jeffrey Epstein.
Tell us how you feel about the preteens.
How's that island, friend?
She's not preteen.
If Linguini is on the field, I play ball.
Oh my god.
This is what they call al dente pussy. Don't you ever get it?
Oh my god.
Ah! Sarah and I just keep exchanging glances.
No, she's happy about it. She likes the joke.
The house on fire. She likes the joke. Die.
Right, so anyway, and back to Dad's conversation, we also find out they're going to Nilbog, where 26 people live, and they're going to live like their ancestors. We'll be peasants and farmers.
Yeah, peasants. You definitely want to go on vacation where you're a peasant. That's what I always look for.
This is some white nonsense. White people love pretending to be poor.
I love taking this public transportation because it makes me feel like I had an abortion.
Mom has a conversation with him about how she's worried about how Joshua is... communicating with the dead, Grampy.
I mean, and her eyes look like she's communicating with the dead, because there's like infinite oblivion behind her eyes. Like, it's like H.P. Lovecraft, cosmic horror.
Michael?
Yeah?
Who are the goblins?
The goblins?
Joshua wakes up and it's sister's boyfriend at the window. And then he sneaks up on Holly.
Oh, yeah, this is the Clarissa Explains It All
fucking
scene.
Still doing her bench presses.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a comment about some kind of instincts, right? She knees him in the balls and tells him to release his instincts in the bathroom.
Are you nuts? You trying to turn me into a homo? Wouldn't it be too hard? If my father discovers you here, he'd cut off your little nuts and eat them.
He can't stand you.
Yeah, that's kind of strange thing to say.
Although, can you join us on our family vacation, like, right away? Tomorrow, 8 o'clock sharp?
When I was 13, I was dating a girl, and she said, if my father catches you over here, he's going to suck your dick. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But I didn't really think much of it at the time until I heard that statement. I was like, okay, I'm putting the pieces together now.
So I, Claudia, was right. This is how American children preteens talk.
You
were totally,
for guys, you nailed it.
They leave for their vacation. No Elliot, no Beau to be seen. Dad and Holly are fighting, so Mom says, come on, Joshua, sing that song I like so much.
And he's like,
OG gangster lean. Now after I shit, your face wipes that ass clean. Time to get tipsy. And don't want a bitch if you can't rub the balls like a gypsy. Who's all in? Since you put yourself on my dick, I put my nuts on your chin. Nuts on your chin. Since you put yourself on my dick, I put my nuts on your chin.
But then we find out that Elliot and his friends are actually also driving to Nilbog.
They're like a D-grade version of like dudes from a boner comedy where they're supposed to be like horny frat dudes, but it's like every dude is the nerdy guy.
Yeah.
There isn't an alpha dude out of them. They're all just like,
yeah, I'm the guy who loves pussy. Yeah,
it's like beta, 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 beta.
But like, where did they get this RV? They're all like, they've got to be maybe 17.
Yeah.
They were probably like up at like 12 o'clock in the morning, and there was like, you know, you see those weird ads all the time, and it's probably like, preteen RV sale going on now. And they're just like, I'm preteen, let's go down. And they went, do. Oh, you preteens look like you're going on a preteen vacation. Here's your discount card. Cha-ching! And they drove it out of the lot.
Yeah, and the salesman leans over, he's like, I know what you're there for. You're there for that al dente, aren't you?
And they're like, wait, what do you mean? Al dente, mister?
He's like, oh, you're going for that pussy with a little bit of chew, but not too much.
A little bit of chew!
As they're driving down the road, Joshua sees Grandpa Seth on the side of the road.
Oh my god.
Holding a sign
the
that says,
hitchhiker.
Stop them. So he yells for his parents to stop, and he pretends that he is the barf.
Are you gonna be sick?
And he runs out, and he runs back to the guy, and it's Grandpa Seth, and he's like, you know, you have to stop them. You're getting yourselves into trouble. So Dad throws the van in reverse, backs all the way up, and it turns out that Joshua is talking to
Alice Cooper.
Goblins still exist.
Don't tell me they ate
happened, Grandpa?
That's exactly what happened. With a voracity that has no equal on Earth.
We'll be at home and I'll literally be like, oh no, demons!
Or I'll be like, that's actually not a lie.
Tectonic plates just moved.
I always tell Steph, like, when I fall, I'm just like, I just cracked my knee. And she'll just be like, no, did you? No, did you? Did you? No, no, did you? I'm like, yeah, it was my knee. No, did you? Did you not? I smell it!
What?
Yeah!
One day.
Yeah, Jesse! I told you no!
One day we were sitting on the sofa.
Why does your knee smell?
We were watching a movie.
No, Jesse, why does your knee smell?
We were watching a movie on the sofa, and one of the cats was laying with me, and I was like,
oh, no.
I looked at Bronson and I was like, did you fucking fart? Why does it smell so bad? And I was like, he just farted. And Jesse, like 20 minutes later, was like, oh, that was me.
I watched a video recently of what I assume to be is a stripper who is putting milk in her asshole and then furiously doing a 360 and spraying the whole room with a fucking sheet of milk.
She's killing trolls, right?
And feeks. Yeah. She's spreading the feeks all over the place sometimes for everybody.
Sometimes you gotta put in your ass to kill the trolls.
They get to town, there's no one around in this town of 26 people. Nobody there. And Dad says, it's normal. Farmers are in bed by this time. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Broad daylight.
You know those farmers like wasting daylight.
So they continue on to the quote-unquote farm that they're switching with these people. And the family that was on the porch waiting is like the weirdest, dirtiest family.
The child is a newsie.
What the fuck's that movie? The fighting movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme where it's like a Mortal Kombat ripoff.
The Quest.
Oh, I love The Quest.
It's like him. When
he's with the kids in the beginning.
When they show like his flashback when he's like a little kid and he's friends with all like the other
little thieves.
Yeah, the little thieves. That's what he is.
And as they're driving away in their pickup truck, the kid like throws a softball to Joshua, and it says, "Eat before we eat you,"
which is a slogan for my swingers bar.
Yeah. Is this also what George Hardy's like? Yeah, you'll like our house. It's got a microwave and a stove
and a cable
and a table and ovens and there's walls and you'll like that.
So they go in the house and everyone's hungry and mom is expecting that they left something for them. And they have. They left a spread of food on the table. I mean, it's like English muffins with some green slime on it.
I proposed the question to Steph. I was like, this is the single most inconvenient way to have to eat ever if you're a fucking troll because you're constantly having to bake all these goods.
Yeah,
to get fucking people
to eat.
So for every one person you have to kill, you have to make like 60 cakes. So these trolls are like their hands must be so fucking arthritic from all the bacon they have to do.
It all looks like bacon. St. Patrick's Day like Dunkin' Donuts shit.
Oh my god, just like green icing on everything. Yep.
And they're totally fine with the fact that there's like no entrees. It's just all dessert.
They're it's like, all look at the breads southern and desserts home cooking
and say, shamrock shakes.
Well, if they're hallucinating something else there, then I would probably be looking at like 3 Dallas fillets and being like,
man, I said I suck your dick. Come on.
They're about to eat all this food and Grandpa Seth shows up at the window and
freezes
says,
time.
You have 30 seconds. Snaps his fingers. 2 minutes later, Joshua finally decides that he's going to piss on all the food.
So let me get this fucking straight. Grandpa Seth can pretend to be a homeless guy and he can stop time, but he's still a slave to the laws of matter. And he's like, you got to open the screen door. I can't talk to you unless you open the fucking screen door.
So after he pees all over the food, Dad, this is when we see Dad throws him over his shoulder and carries him upstairs. And every room is labeled with like the family member's name. So he makes a stop at every room. And the mom's yelling up, don't hit him, Michael. Don't hit him. Do you see this writing? Do you know what it means? Hospitality. And he goes from door to door. And finally he gets to Joshua's room and he goes inside and he throws him on the bed.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
What are you going to do, Daddy?
Basically, he thinks that Joshua is refusing to eat.
So you're saying, I'm going hungry.
Yeah!
It's just Eddie Vedder just eating like a really dry roll.
Chris Cornell, what are you going to do? Chris Cornell. Hungry.
And then there's like a door across from Jim Varney, and it's like, he's over there.
God damn it.
How many doors are in this house?
It's just like, nobody actually sleeps in these beds. We sleep on the doors.
This is awful.
Oh, I imagine people going into their house and just like they keep slipping and they're like, God damn, someone wants to wax these floors and not give it a
proper wax because what's all this residue?
It's like the ending of Gremlins when all the gremlins get wet and that's what the floor looks like. There's just a whole bunch of weird babies coming up like Robin Williams, Jim Varney.
The boys are watching a movie and Arnold goes outside for a smoke and he immediately sees a hot lady running through the woods and he chases her. And when she doesn't stop running, he tackles her.
Yeah, man.
Because that's what you do.
He holds her seductively.
Don't ever tackle. Don't ever tackle a woman.
Don't ever. I don't know.
And I won't even fucking listen to a woman getting tackled on this podcast.
I refuse. That's disgusting.
I'm drawing the line right now. Sick shit.
She tells him that they made her eat that stuff and she thinks she's dying. And then suddenly their goblins have all crept up on
them.
Oh
my God, it's the best. And I never realized this. I've watched this movie a million fucking times. I never realized they're actually fucking talking.
They do. Yeah, because he's like, Carl Arnold's like, I'm going to go take care of this. And then he goes over to like be a tough guy and the goblins look at each other and they go, what do we have to do?
Yeah.
It's we rewound it so we could listen to it again.
And then when he fucking throws the thing, when he throws the javelin at Arnold. Did you see the form on that when he throws that javelin?
Perfect form?
They must have called that they must have called that midget from the Special Olympics.
Well, also, can we talk about
I'm just telling you right now.
He literally throws that javelin like 50 feet when Arnold is standing
two feet.
I'm sorry, but Arnold also walks up to a bunch of monsters and is like, time to negotiate with these here monsters. I've seen in life all the time.
It's like, you guys are coming between me and my cummies, okay? When me and my cummies.
Steph, when we get home tonight, I'm going to be like, Jesse won cummies now. Jesse, so hungry for cummies.
And you know what Steph's going to say? Steph's going to say, you remember al dente pasta?
That wasn't my creation.
My creation. It's my cummies.
No. Okay, when Arnold gets
from my dick and from my hand, why don't we walk?
Why can't they seem to understand? It's my cummies.
Holy fuck.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand?
My cummies.
So when Arnold gets in with the spear, he screams and the boys back in the RV hear it. And at first they're concerned, but then they're like, he's just banging a hot chick, right?
Yeah, that's like, we all know Arnold's orgasm scream.
Arnold and the girl run through the woods and they end up at a house that is a church and there's a torch burning outside.
Listen, if you ever,
and they go inside, right?
If you ever,
this is like Children of the Corn Church.
If you ever roll up to a church and the first thing you see in the church is like a crushed velvet red
sex bed.
Yes. Like you've just walked onto the set of a European nun porn video. Yeah.
They walk into part European nun porn, part like East meets West. You guys have that store in your malls? It's like an interview with a vampire
set. A lot of dragon statues.
No, but actually, in all actuality, it's like a plant fuck palace.
Some creepy ass woman comes, right? She comes creeping down with the dirtiest teeth.
Creepy woman creeping down.
I am Credence Leonor Gielgud.
And I was like, listen up.
Of ancient druid origins.
And she's like, so are you a Croatian? What are you?
My ancestors came from Stonehenge.
Exactly. It's tied to H3.
Yes. And I was like, whoa, listen up, Credence Clearwater Revival. Let's see what's so al dente down there, huh?
My God, if you went down and looked at Credence Clearwater Revival genitals, my God, what you would see. If I could take a Petri dish to that thing, Bayou Billy would come fucking swinging out of there.
It was like, no, you want to go down on this pussy because you got three types of gameplay. You got the vehicle, you got the side-scroller action, you got to shoot them up.
So they tell her that they need a doctor, and she says there are no doctors in Nilbog. They are used to healing themselves. And she brings over a bowl and a mug of a special broth full of all of vegetal like, properties like, of the earth.
Like she says, like, it's tree sap tea or some such bullshit. Mm-hmm.
So they drink it, and the girl immediately throws it down and starts groaning and writhing around.
I don't understand the transformation time.
It doesn't make sense.
There's no fucking...
She
for
goes,
her, because
she,
maybe because she's already eaten some of it. She's already been exposed. And now she's food for her children.
Yeah.
And all the goblins go,
but again, not vegetarians because she's still human meat.
Right.
If you could feed a chicken enough corn and it became corn shaped like a chicken, is it still chicken?
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh my God!
Now we're back to Holly, who's doing some wicked ass dance moves in the mirror
with her fucking Garfield shit on.
Yes. She's like cupping her farts into the mirror.
This is like Friday the 13th Part 6 shit.
What is the comic cat of choice, Garfield or Heathcliff?
Oh, Garfield.
Garfield.
Heathcliff is one that got feline AIDS, right? Oh. And then he was just like, he got real skinny in the later comics.
Maybe not as funny as pro wrestling, but a lot more realistic.
She starts practicing her little speech of telling Elliot off when suddenly Grandpa Seth appears.
Oh my god,
to her.
Grandpa Seth's like, I got this idea for a movie called Jurassic Cock, and it's these old men behind an electrified fence, and they're sticking their penises through and getting sucked.
Is there a glory hole situation here? Or like,
there's one old guy that has really short arms and a massive dick, so they call him T-Rex.
Oh, okay.
Nature finds a way.
Oh my god.
Say it again. We have a protein.
Fucking Newman's going to the fucking dock and the sign like flips and falls down. Instead of like Jurassic Park, it says Jerry Epstein.
I thought
Jerry Epstein didn't kill himself.
I thought you were gonna say his Jerry. You keep calling Jerry Epstein too.
Jerry.
Inside the Jerry. Amber of my cane are Webster's balls.
It does explain why all the lawyers are there.
Sign this waiver. Once you sign this waiver, every part of your body is fuckable.
I'm going to continue.
You're signing the rights to your holes to me.
Is it a wholesale?
Shoot her! Shoot her!
No adults unless accompanied by a kid.
So basically, Holly does not want to sleep in this room now. It gives Joshua opportunity to get back in the room and to talk to Grandpa Seth, who then tells him he has to convince them that they have to leave. So back in the RV, there are two semi or fully naked boys sleeping in the bed. It's not clear.
The one kid goes out jogging to get food because he's hungry.
Because no one brought supplies.
Steph, what is the sheriff's fucking name?
Gene Freak.
He's like, hi, I'm Sheriff Gene Freak. And I was like, what? Here you go. I have a bologna and Benadryl sandwich, young man.
And then he's like, oh, we're looking for, where are all the girls in this town? And he like fucking gets the yucks.
Gene Freak's gonna tell you where the pussy at, boy.
It's your pussy.
I'm gonna take you to some pussy.
What are you gonna do with your newfound fame?
Do some of them pussy films.
Porno.
He leaves him at the general store where he goes inside. There's really nothing to purchase except room temperature curdled milk.
There's never anything weird about some fucking unsettling character offering you free milk and telling your friends to drink it.
There's no coffee here in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink. Eggs.
So he takes the milk and he goes outside where everyone in the town is standing there giving him the stink eye.
Mm-hmm.
And they, again, we see these weird marks that everyone has. And then they tell him they have a message for him.
Go take a shorty shortcut with your preteen shorts through the woods.
Dad and Josh have left and they've gone to the store, which is closed. And then Dad sits down on the bench outside and picks up a vegetarian cookbook, which is standing there, and immediately falls asleep. Because by the time Josh walks over to the car to look in the mirror to see if Grandpa Seth is... I don't know. Where is this, like, where did he get this idea that Grandpa Seth only appears in mirrors? Has that been the case? No.
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 Because Grandpa Seth was sitting in his bedroom.
Do not apply logic to anything in this film.
So he goes to see if Grandpa Seth is in the mirror, and he looks and he sees the sign from Nilbog and realizes...
Oh my god.
It's Goblin spelled backwards! And he sees a group of people who are being, I don't know.
They see a cult.
Preached to by this weird wrestler.
This weird WWF high as fuck on cocaine Undertaker, dude.
Oh, for sure.
That looks like he's got a Bee Gees haircut.
I am the cream. You know that I'm the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And he's watching through a hole. The humans nourish themselves with these, violating their own bodies, infecting themselves, creating incurable ailments. Smelly bladders, nest of infections, clusters of hemorrhoids, vicious, stinking excrement.
I'm so fucking horny.
The preacher and this congregation of cultists are attempting to force feed Joshua.
The Fergaz.
And it's funny because it keeps cutting back and forth like regular people. he looks at them and he sees goblins. Regular people, goblins.
But every time they cut to the regular people, it's Gene Freak going, he's wearing Benny's glasses right now.
What do they tell him? They say, open your mouth, my little friend. Another quote attributed to Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, God. So Dad, meanwhile, happens to be right outside, hears him yelling, runs in and stops them. What are you doing to my son? Oh, we were just giving him some ice cream.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like that makes it less weird. We're in a barn force feeding your baby ice cream. This preteen baby ice cream. No.
And Joshua does try to tell Dad that they're goblins, and he's like,
nah.
You see that, like, maybe there's something,
he's
but,
only,
like
20% convinced at this point.
Right.
When you're in, like, a fucking abandoned barn, and you see some dirty-ass people, including a weird fucking, like, Kenny Rogers dude, and he's trying to give your son a big pile of goop.
And he's got, like, Marilyn Manson contacts in.
Yeah. Get out! So they get back to the car, and they drive, and then they drive past the RV where they see Holly outside fighting with Elliot. And Dad's pissed with that playboy son of the Coopers.
I know. Why is he a playboy?
He's not even attractive.
He's basically saying, I want to fuck that kid.
Like, why is he concerned with this at all? Shouldn't, like, the task at hand be like, wow, it was really weird that my son was accosted by a mob of adults.
Exactly.
But if my dad was like, yeah, bring your playgirl fucking wife over for Christmas,
I'm like, all right, Joe Biden, back off.
We're not related by blood.
Oh, God.
And I heard you're only a little cooked, but not all the way.
Jeff, I've been deep diving in your fucking Pornhub fucking history, let me tell you.
Put blackface on my dick. Get that love connection.
Meanwhile,
last thing you want in your mind is my dad's dick.
Exactly.
but like, I'll make the sacrifice because I've seen it many times.
Yeah, but I haven't. I would rather not ever. So Drew gets to this church house and Arnold/Plant.
What's his really quality of life going to be? Like, he's got that, you know, that fucking root dick. A bega.
Like a ginger root?
Yeah. I would fucking suck his dick if it was a ginger. No. I love fresh ginger.
Very good for the immune system.
Like, I'd be scraping my teeth on it on purpose.
Credence shows up and she yells at Arnold for trying to escape, and she's going to punish him. So she pulls out a chainsaw. She tells him it's just going to tickle him, and he does, like, that's the thing. He laughs.
Assuming she's spatchcocking him.
The family, they get home.
There's all these trolls off camera. You don't see them, but they're all making English muffins. Green English muffins.
There's like a legit hoedown going on in the living room.
Except Gene Freak. Gene Freak is the party pooper.
He is a party pooper. Yeah,
I love Gene Freak's line later as my fucking favorite.
There's some sandwiches in here. It'd be easier if you just eat them.
So Joshua starts screaming about how everyone's goblins, and he gets sent up to his bedroom, and he starts calling for Grandpa Seth, and the goblin jumps through.
Rebuggets through the fucking mirror.
Cause yeah, it's Credence, right? And then Grandpa, this is when Grandpa shows up with the axe and he chops the hand off.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, "This is my solution, Molotov cocktail."
No, he's like, "This is my final solution. I'm Grampy, and I have a final solution planned."
He's like, "Which Joshua, hell has come to Midget Town."
I like how he's like, basically like, "I've come out of an extraterrestrial plane of existence." And I've already concocted this Molotov for you, already pre-assembled.
So listen, I learned some stuff when I was down there with David Koresh. So I brought a Molotov cocktail with me.
So before Josh and Grampy can light this Molotov, the preacher wrestler sneaks up behind them. He basically is sending Grandpa. He's going to send him back to hell, right? So Grandpa like starts like, and it's windy.
They never say what Grandpa did. Did Grandpa like choke out the grandma and kill him? And like, why did he go to hell?
I don't believe that he was really in hell.
He seems like
Grandpa liked al dente pasta.
I heard.
I like to get my al dente before they put marinara on it. You know what I'm saying?
You know you're never gonna be able to bring her to like an Italian restaurant. Yeah,
no fucking Olive Garden for you anymore.
I mean, there is no limit on breadsticks.
That's how they get you though. They fill you up with soup and pasta. I mean, soup and breadsticks, and then you can't eat any pasta.
Steph, are you going after Olive Garden?
Back to the goddamn preacher.
The catchphrase.
He explodes in fire because Grampy uses special powers. They put the fire out. When they put the fire out, it is not WWF wrestler. It is a crusty ass goblin. So Dad's like, "Oh shit." Little Joshy was right the whole time. Take the whole family, and they run back in the house.
And somehow they're in a standoff.
They should have, like, put some of the food in their mouth, and then they should have had, like, gene freak, like spitting, like force feeding like a baby bird, like the mom. Well, like,
meanwhile, Credence is summoning the powers of Stonehenge.
She's summoning something.
To
make
sun,
her more attractive.
The sun sets, the wind blows, and suddenly she's a hot lady with
big
boobs.
She becomes Stevie Nicks. She elevated herself
from druidic witch to possibly sexy librarian.
This is like a weird video dead fucking Nightmare on Elm Street tack on where she's in the TV set and then she's like, I'm not really in TV fucking sucking.
Come on outside.
Sucking some corn.
This is like some fucking like closed circuit television videodrome.
I'm in your bedroom sucking some corn. Let's eat corn together, which if she came into my room and wanted to eat corn with me like that, I would oblige.
You would. It's so weird because they're making out with this ear of corn in their mouths and then it starts popping everywhere.
I never thought while I'm eating corn I would want to have sex, but like maybe I would because sweet corn's delicious.
You and Steph never dabbled in food play?
No food play before.
No, there's no food in my sex.
I only dabbled in food play when I was like 13 having sex, when I like squirted like strawberry like blowjob like lotion on my penis and it was fucking awful, dude.
This was al dente dick then.
Yeah, it was like a little munchkin dick, like, you know. It was a preteen Jesse dick. Is what I'm talking about.
He had it the best. He got to like fuck while eating popcorn. Yeah, that's pretty great. And he wakes up, I'd like that,
dude. He wakes up and there was like,
you would like that?
Some
I would.
Where would the kernels go though?
I don't know. Ben cleans.
I imagine that's the way that Gene Freaks eats his popcorn. He just lays on the couch and just dumps the bags on himself.
I think Gene Freak puts a fucking plastic bag over his head and fucking thinks about other things.
Oh my god.
Like al dente pasta?
There's sandwiches for tonight in here. It will go easier if you eat them. You'll make our work easier. Otherwise, we'll be forced to kill you violently.
It would be a shame. The blood would mix with the meat, and we'd have to put them in vinegar for the whole night.
Meanwhile, the family decides that they have to perform a seance to contact Grandpa
Seth. This is fucking stupid.
So that he can help them.
So now we're like in fucking witchboard.
Now we're in the schizophrenic fever dream mind of Claudio Fragasso and his fucking wife who's like picking her toenails and writing the script.
Lightning is whatever outside and then it's like a bright light.
How can they never get Grandpa like a weird moment where he's like in this extra dimensional plane and he's like fucking naked? Instead of just like fully clothed in his grandpa outfit every single fucking time.
Because probably he has some fucking drapery fucking from hanging from his fucking balls.
Down to his knees.
It's probably like really, really tiny nuts, but just extra sack. Just like so much extra sack. And you're like, why is his sack that big? He don't need it. He's got edamame.
So Grandpa, he tells them they have 10 minutes.
How have we gone 130 plus episodes never described edamame to a fucking dude's gross before?
He's like, his fucking testicle looks like a fruit roll-up, like unrolled.
Papyrus fruit roll-up!
And all the goblins just start rushing into the house and chase the family. Joshua wakes up at a table in Credence's church house.
The finale does pay off because of all this just...
It does, because it's...
Troll running.
Yeah, there's so much.
Most of what I'm talking about. So much. The only way it could be better is if this ending was like a bunch of like midget trolls going down a water slide and then it just ends like at a pool, but midgets can't swim, so it's just face down midgets just... floating in a pool dead. That would be the best. And then you play a game when you're done with all the floating dead midgets, you try to run across the pool and stay dry.
So Joshua calls for Grandpa Seth, who comes and gives him a backpack and says, do not open this until you have to, which is going to be in 2 minutes.
No, Grandpa is up to some freaky shit. He's like, look, you're going to look in that bag. Maybe you find one or two of my sex toys, but you're too old for me to explain it to you yet, so don't worry about it.
Maybe you're going to find something in there called a wee vibe, and it smells a little stinky.
Let me tell you something. When the real dolls were made of wicker, it hurt. It hurt real bad.
It was like putting your goddamn dick in an Iron Maiden.
Yeah, the powers are in... It's Stonehenge's magic stone.
Stonehenge magic stone. The goblin's magic power.
Oh my god, I love
the goblin's magic power.
Stonehenge magic stone. Yeah. What is the delivery of that line?
Okay, look,
the
goblin's magic Stonehenge. Stone. It's pretty okay.
I think it's pretty awesome.
Well, for today's audiences, rocks ain't gonna impress no one. You know, true. You gotta have some fucking maybe go to Stonehenge, put on a VR helmet, and like face fuck someone. That would
be or you can let you like you touch fucking, Stonehenge.
You can fuck Stonehenge interactively. No, you put can't. On the VR helmet.
You can't do that.
Oh, I love that Stonehenge pussy. Oh my
god, so cute. So what they feel? I guess what they have to do is touch the stone and use their goodness power to overcome the goblin power. So suddenly, all the goblins disappear because
yeah. What is this? They have fucking
our queen is calling us.
They have transportation abilities.
Yeah, and they just vanish. And
teleportation abilities. That's what I wanted to say. Not transportation.
I mean, I knew. We knew what you meant.
Yeah, we're gonna get in a car now.
Grandpa, he disappears because
he's dead.
He's goodbye forever.
Yes. Oh my god. Back to hell.
No. What does he say to him?
He's like, says goodbye forever.
I'm gonna say goodbye to you for the last time,
Joshua. Just listen close. Listen, I've been at this for several weeks now with you and his family, and I've missed out on a lot of TV guides and stuff that I've got to collect right now. So I've got to go.
Maybe one of the saddest collecting things when you're someone who collects TV guides.
Jesse, don't collect shame me, you cocksucker.
Just like, why do you want to know it was on TV? Like, you know, it's fucking weird. You're looking
Jesse, why do you want a fucking dead media format in your house where you can get so much better? Fuck you, Jesse.
A copy of Spooky.
It's like looking at a graph.
Credence grabs Josh and throws him to the goblins, who, and then she brings over, they're holding him, she brings over green jello. He opens his backpack.
A double-decker bologna sandwich!
Don't do it! I got the fats in your blood! Think about the cholesterol!
My bologna has a first name. It's pre-cum pre-teen peens. No! My baloney has a second name. It's pre-cum pre-teens.
Anyway, he runs over to the goddamn stone and he puts his hands on it and then he throws the sandwich at the goblins. Oh my god,
Steph, I need to bring it up, dude. So me and Steph, we went to Ohio a couple months back. Steph, like, got lunch meat for us, like, to eat, like,
it's
in the car.
Car ride, because it's, like, a six-hour
and,
car
like,
ride.
And like, oh, no. And, like, she got, like, sliced, like, this really fart-smelling sliced turkey, and I was, like, and she was eating. I'm, like, oh, that fucking turkey smells like a fart, dude. I don't want it. And she's, like, well, I can't eat any more of it. And I was, like, it was nighttime, and I was, like, well, just throw it out the window. And this is, like, this big cut of, like, thin cut of fucking turkey, and she just threw it, and I watched the turkey
it got
air, dude, and I saw it in the rearview mirror like 200 feet in the air flying, and me and Steph fucking started dying laughing. It was the stupidest fucking thing. I never laughed so hard in my life. It was like, woo! It was like a turkey ghost. We were fucking laughing for like an hour. Oh my god, so funny.
He runs to his family comes in and he tells them all to touch the stone, and they all start falling over dead. And then they're gone. Then the next scene is the family arriving home. We don't know what the fuck happened. The family arrives home, and
I thought,
you know,
this was like, I thought this was all like a dream.
That's what I thought. It was a dream.
I thought it was like a, I think really what it is, it's like a way for like Joshua to deal with some like really fucked up childhood trauma that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So his mind made him think like maybe he walked in on Grandpa Seth like fucking his mom.
Oh my like, god.
Dressed up like Rudolph, and he's like,
Santa's gotta get you pregnant, Rudolph, so he can make more venison sausages.
And he's like, oh my god, troll.
Joshua hears all this whispering and he goes out to investigate, and he's walking around and he goes downstairs.
Grandpa Seth's bare ass.
And his bare ass.
Where do you think the balls come from?
His bare ass opens up and it says, yummy, mama's so good.
Grandpa Seth is using his ball bag as like a plastic bag over the mom's face as he's doing her from behind.
No!
He's like suffocating her.
Let's get back to the movie. He goes into the kitchen. They're eating my mom! And the goblins are eating her. And then the goblin says, do you want some, Joshua?
Oh my god, I love that part, because he starts doing the thing John said where he's licking the teeth.
Yeah. And he screams, and that is the end of the movie.
Do you want some, Joshua?
I love this fucking movie. Any surprise? It just, I don't know, man. It just has that absurdity to it that I really fucking, like, it's one of those movies where, like, when I watch shitty movies, this is what I want from it. Like, these are the things I'm looking for. Like, you know, as far as like just batshit crazy elements and things not being done well, but it's still like watchable in a way that it feels like a movie. It has like Children of the Corn, kind of fucking bad taste shit going on in there.
Do you watch this a lot?
Oh, dude, I watch this fucking all the time. I love it. As fucking terrible as the special effects are, I think it just fucking adds this, like, if they look better, I probably wouldn't like the movie as much. I feel like it gives it such this, like, weird quality and character to it. And I just love everybody in the movie, from, like, George Hardy to... And then, you know, we already said it, but, like, you watch that documentary and it just, like... It facilitates this, like, if you already kind of like the movie, it makes you love it. I love it. It's a 10. It's become, like, embraced by the horror community. And it's funny when you watch a documentary, because none of anybody in the fucking horror community really knew about it. I guess it was more like an indie movie kind of thing. Like,
I think, I mean, like I said already, I am pretty sure that I saw the documentary first, and I loved it so much that, like, then I was like, okay, I need to see this movie. The movie, and, like, I feel like you have to see both of them. You know, like, I feel like you can't just watch Troll 2. You have to see this documentary.
I also feel like Troll 2, watching it, is better with a group.
It's funny. It's one of those movies
when we showed Ben Greasy Strangler for the first time. It's awesome.
Oh my God,
being in the room, so watching it with somebody else for the first time. I don't think this is a movie you should really watch by yourself.
No. The movie's not great. It's not great, but it's, like, it's so bad that, like, you appreciate the badness of it. And, the acting is kind of terrible, but, like, I love George Hardy's really good. Like, you could tell that he's really trying. He's really giving it his all. He's trying, you know?
It's sad when he's like, I felt like I could have did something, you know, but I felt pressured to go into, like, you know, it's just, like, that's a thing you hear from a lot of people. It's like, you were pressured to go into school to do something that was successful, but you really had these dreams you wanted to do that you just, you know, abandoned. Yeah. It's like everybody, you know?
I know. And I don't know. I mean, for me, it's not, like, a favorite movie of mine. It's definitely enjoyable. It's definitely a movie that I could watch, like, over and over again. And I would definitely recommend it to other people. But it's not a 10 for me. I'm going to say it's a 6.
So I watched the movie. I'd never seen it. And Ben showed it to me. And halfway through, I was like, all right, we're breaking up. I have to, like, go back to online dating. I can never talk to this person again. This is the worst movie I've ever seen.
That was the one.
No, what, worse than Microwave Massacre?
Okay, Microwave Massacre is way worse.
It's the worst.
But, you know, I was pretty mad about watching this movie. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is garbage. But then I, like, toughed it out. And I watched the documentary. And then it became, like, basically a 10 to me. I was just like, so endeared by the documentary. I was like, it feels like a Rocky Horror kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you watch Rocky Horror by yourself, you're like, this is trash. But if you watch it with a bunch of people, it's really fun.
So here's the thing about it. Like, I've seen, like, a lot of Italian movies, and the thing, I love a lot of, like, very bad Italian movies, but I think pacing is one of the issues with them. And I think the advantage of this movie is something bonkers is always happening. The movie is very much like a ride, and I don't think that there is any sort of, like, tremendous gaps involving people walking around a house or establishing a plot that is completely nonsensical, which happens a lot.
There's no filler in this movie.
No, it's just all one bonkers event to the next one.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that the success of the film and its enduring success is because there was sincerity behind it, and I think that's what Best Worst Movie does. When you watch it, you realize that everyone was pretty much sincere about it, like Claudio Fragasso to, like, a fault, sincere about it. The rest of them all wanted to be in a movie so much they were willing to roll with the punches of this fucking weird Italian dude. You have to create something with love, and even when you're like, I'm a big fan of Hobo with a Shotgun, and I feel that, like, that movie has a lot of heart behind it and definitely forefronts the plot line they're trying to do behind the weirdness.
What do you give it? You give it a 10, right?
It's a 10.
Yeah, I don't have, like, I like a good bad movie. I just, for some reason, this film doesn't land with me. And even watching the documentary, I was expecting, like a most traditional documentaries of the stuff that we've covered before that has, like, a full feature documentary. I was expecting, like, more like, this is how this was shot. This is who made the masks. And usually they would go into detail about, okay, this is special effects guys, this is the composer. And really, that documentary was 90% about the cult following fan base that happened after the film was. And it was kind of like, you know, a self-referential movie about these screenings that happened after the fact and these people enjoying the film for what it was.
Not really
going into the technical aspect of the film. So I don't know. I just, for me, when I want to watch a good bad film, it's shitty dialogue, also nudity and some special effects, whether they be shitty or not. And like, this film, like, 90% of it isn't really horror. It's like creature effects to a certain extent, and it's in broad daylight, and it's awkward social situations, which is fine. It's just not for me personally, so it's 5.
IMDb rating was a 2.9 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes 6%.
And I feel like, you know what, we've covered, like, Blood Diner and Microwave Massacre and stuff like that, which also get low ratings, but I feel like at some point people are just downvoting this shit just to downvote it. I don't really.
Blood Diner is a gem.
But again, like, we're talking about the same wheelhouse of budget, the same wheelhouse of effects, Blood Diner and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even think Blood Diner is anywhere near that low. I feel like some people are just intentionally voting this down for the notoriety, for notoriety's sake. Yeah. I don't think this movie is a 2 or a 0. At some point, it's like, it becomes its own legend.
All right, I'm going to announce the next movie from director Toby Hooper, starring Craig T. Daddy Nelson, Joe Beth Williams, and Zelda Rubinstein. From a dimension beyond the living, a terror to scare to death. Poltergeist from 1982.
Woo! From Steven Spielberg, director of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Poltergeist.
Contrary to popular superstition, hauntings and poltergeist incidents do not necessarily occur in old, dark, abandoned mansions. They can occur anytime, any place.
The house looks just like the one next to it, and the one next to that, and the one next to that. And yet, it's special. It is inhabited by a young couple. Their three children. And something more.
Poltergeist is a German word. Geist meaning ghost, polter meaning. So a poltergeist is a noisy ghost or noisy spirit. There's no simple answer as to why these phenomena occur.
At first, like a child, it simply wanted attention.
At first, people are just puzzled by the phenomena.
Soon, it became inquisitive, experimental, mischievous.
Furniture topples over. Objects fly around by themselves. Vases may be shattered. Fires may spontaneously break out.
Most of the time, there's a particular person that the events seem to focus around.
It grew restless.
The initial outbreak will terrify the family.
Then it became frustrated.
They are typically violent.
Hostile.
Apparitions have been reported.
Angry.
It can be violent, vicious, and destructive.
And now, its focus is clear.
As of yet, we don't know how to control them.
Its form is revealed, and the games are over. Next summer, the unknown will be revealed. Visible will be seen. Poltergeist. The first real ghost story.
Now playing at a theater near you, check newspapers.
I have a few new patrons to mention. Richard Ireland. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Stefan, but there's an E. I'm not sure. Travis M., Terry Presley, and Lucas Nord. Thank you so much,
Lucas
guys.
Lucas Nord left and is back now.
Yeah, he's
so
back.
I appreciate that. Listen, you guys can leave and come back. I'm all about that.
Do what you want.
Thanks
Move
for
up and
people
down,
for staying, too.
Leave.
But the thing I am disappointed in, very disappointed in.
Let's guess.
Sickened by you fucking dogs.
Reviews.
Where are the reviews at? Where are the iTunes reviews, dogs? I want you to get on your dog PC or your dog Mac. And write us up an iTunes review,
yeah,
please.
It takes 2 seconds.
I also want to say something here. I think an opportunity was missed in Ernest Scared Stupid to, you know, since the parents were always trying to get him away from the fucking, the parents were always trying to get him away from the kids.
Children's.
Always.
Yeah.
Stay away from. The parents should have fucking doused him in gasoline, burn him alive in his house. Then he could have came back as Ernest P. Worrell. Fucking the Night Slasher.
Yeah.
God, what a missed opportunity.
He could have teamed up with Freddy.
He could have been Freddy. Yeah. Man, all the deep fakes that are going around right now, man, if you can get a Jim Varney fucking Freddy Cougar fucking deep fake,
that
would be a 10.
That's amazing.
So until next episode,
say you
love
Satan!
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.